Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Leadership books gives you information. But the Bible is a book of transformation. And many people are leading from a place of information. And until you become transformed, information can destroy. Most people have information, so they never act in wisdom. But when you become transformed, the information has transformed you. You know how to use it the right way.
This week, Pastor Neil will focus on Ecclesiastes chapter 10. In this chapter, Solomon tells us that wisdom is the best defense against the temptations and challenges of the world. Pastor Neil teaches us that wisdom allows us to make decisions based on God's perspective, and since God is all-knowing, we can do the right things at the right time, noting that poor choices can negatively impact society, workplaces, and government. He stresses that true wisdom, knowledge, and understanding come solely from God, which we can acquire through studying the Bible and the transformative work of the Holy Spirit. He encourages us not to fall for the foolishness around us, reminding us that wisdom is available to those who earnestly seek it. Now, let's listen to Pastor Neil's message. Pursue wisdom in the midst of foolishness.
All right. There is a lot of foolishness in our world today. There's a lot of foolishness in America today. God's word through Solomon to us is that we ought to pursue what? Wisdom in the midst of this. Amen. 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 So let's begin, first of all, by understanding the word wisdom. What is wisdom? A few weeks ago when we were in chapter 7, I defined wisdom. Let me see who still remembers it. What is wisdom? The fear of the Lord. Anybody? We said wisdom is the ability to make decisions that are based on God's perspective alone. Wisdom is the ability to make godly informed decisions, not decisions that are informed by a group of people, but what God says is right. Amen? Wisdom sees the big picture in focus, and each part in its proper relationship to the rest. Anybody who acts in wisdom has the ability to see the big picture. Who else in life can see the big picture more than God? And that is why decisions made based on his perspective is the wisest one. Amen. So a wise person then is a person who makes godly informed decisions. And the scripture says, if you don't, it's not me, but the scripture calls you foolish. You remember a few weeks ago we said that just so they don't get offended, we'll call them smart. But according to God, you are foolish. So you are either wise based on what God says or you are smart, which means you're foolish. And I pray that you will not be like that. Amen? And so you'll notice that the subject of wisdom is something that Solomon actually pays attention to all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 1, he asks the question, does wisdom bring happiness? And he comes to a conclusion that it never does. It has some good effect, but it never brings happiness. Then he talks about the fact that those who go after wisdom tend to have some answers. But if a fool rise to a high position and control you, what good is it to be wise? You remember his argument when he says, what is the point in all of this if we will pursue wisdom, but then you'll find that somebody who is crazy will end up leading you. And so all throughout the book, Solomon makes that argument. And then in chapter 7, we study that wisdom does three things. I'm still reviewing before we get into today's lesson. What are the three things wisdom does? We said wisdom gives us balance, it gives us strength, and it gives us what? Insight. Balance when there are extremes, because there are extremes all the time. And the wisdom that God gives us is what keeps us in a balance. Strength is the second one. In the midst of pain, we tend to lose eternal focus. And it's the wisdom of God that keeps us and gives us the strength to stand. And finally, we said in the midst of confusion, it is wisdom that gives us what? Insight. It helps us to actually put those things in perspective. Amen? Chapter 8 is what I have not taught. But chapter 8 teaches us certain basic things that are so important. Please write it down before we come to today's lesson. In chapter 8, it teaches us what wisdom looks like when you are faced with difficult situations, right? So wisdom looks like doing the right thing at the right time. There are many people who are doing the right thing, but at the wrong time. If you walk in wisdom, it means you're going to do the right thing at the right time. There are people who do the wrong thing at an appropriate time, and so it still is not wisdom. Now, for example, you all remember when Nathan the prophet had a word from God and he went to King David. What did he do? He gave him a story. He could have simply said, God says you have sinned. You went to take Bathsheba, somebody's wife. And I'm very sure that by the time Nathan will be done, he'll be dead. John the Baptist is a typical example in the New Testament. If John the Baptist used some discretion, he would have been alive. Sometimes we know the truth, but we must act in wisdom. Are you guys with me? So chapter 8 teaches us what wisdom looks like. Secondly, we find that wisdom does not only look like doing the right thing at the right time, but it also means fearing God and walking in faith, even when it seems that evildoers are doing better. Sometimes believers don't want to do the right thing because we feel, how in the world that they don't serve God and everything goes well for them? Wisdom teaches you that in spite of what you're doing, there's a final judgment one day, so live right. Amen? And don't look at them. They don't become your standard by which you live. Thirdly, we said that wisdom looks like what? Living life now in the light of eternity, in the life of the final judgment. One day, you will be judged. And everything that happens in the here and now is not what defines your life. Amen. So Solomon makes all these arguments. I think fourthly, wisdom looks like seizing moments to enjoy life, recognizing that such moments are God's gift. Christians don't like fun. We all seem like we've been baptized in lemon juice. Every day we look so sad. No, have fun. Have what? Fun. Last weekend, I ministered on Friday, then ministered all of Saturday, morning, afternoon, evening, and then I have to preach again on Sunday, and then because I have little kids, I have to get on the flight and fly back. It sounds like a strenuous, right? Then I got home and I told my wife, bring a drink. Let's have fun. He says, aren't you tired? It's not me. Once I see my wife, heaven is open. So Solomon makes all these arguments that wisdom is important. Anytime you make a decision and that decision is not based on God's perspective, the scripture says that's not wisdom. Turn to the person sitting next to you. You got to be a wise person. All right, so let's focus on today's lesson. And today's lesson, Solomon says, pursue wisdom in the midst of foolishness. He says, when you look at the world in which you live in, you will notice that there is foolishness all around you. How should the believer live? His answer is simple. Pursue wisdom. Make decisions the way God would have done it. Amen. So let's begin from Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Let's look at verse 1. I'll be reading from the New Century Version. He says, dead flies can make even perfume stink. Dead flies can make even perfume what? In other words, those back in those days, not today. Today they don't use the same processes for making perfumes like they did back then. Now, but if you have a fly that is dead and it's in the perfume oil, once it starts stinking, it changes everything. Then he uses that as an analogy. Notice the next few words. He says, in the same way, a little foolishness can spoil what? He says, all it takes is one foolish person or one foolish action can do a lot of damage. So when you vote, vote wisely. Did you hear that? Because one foolish person and one foolish action can destroy wisdom. Verse 2. The heart of the wise leads to right, but the heart of a fool leads to wrong. Now, notice that the use of the word right and wrong is not referring to what is right and what is wrong, right? I think it's in the book of Proverbs where the scripture teaches that those who live right do right, and those who do the wrong thing goes to the left. So he is trying to say that the heart of a wise person leads him to make choices that are correct. Then the person whose heart is a fool does the opposite. Verse 3, even in the way fools walk along the road, they show they are not wise. They show everyone how stupid they are. Please, I'm reading the scriptures. It's not me saying it. And now he's saying that in life, you will see foolish people. And in life, you will see those who are wise, right? Now he moves into your workplace. Look at verse 4. Don't leave your job just because your boss is angry with you. Some people are laughing. It sounds like some people quit their job because their boss is angry. If you did that, you have a problem. Remaining calm solves great problems. There is something else wrong that happens here on earth. Please notice, something wrong. So it is the kind of mistake rulers make. Fools are given important positions while gifted people are given lower positions. Is that what is happening? There are many people who are ruling. The scripture says they are making decisions that are not based on God's perspective. So they are foolish. He says the fool rules. Verse 7. Read with me, everybody. Verse 7. Shall we? Go. I have seen servants ride horses while princes walk like servants on foot. The normal thing in life is that princes are the ones that ride on. Then the servants do walk. But Solomon says, no, I have seen a reverse. What is it that causes that to happen? Notice that verse 1, he says, a little foolishness will destroy wisdom. So the conventional wisdom is that you will have to see the princes on the horses. But foolishness can make this thing be reversed. Are you following his argument now? All right. Let me put it in this phrase. Please write it down. It is hard to live in a world where fools get in position of influence. It is hard to live in it. They can do a lot of damage. It is hard to live in a world like that. A world where fools are sitting on horses. Let's pick up from verse 8. I'll keep reading because we're not going to jump in. Now he gives us examples of foolishness. Anyone who digs a pit might fall into it. Anyone who knocks down a wall might be bitten by a snake. Anyone who moves boulders might be hurt by them. And anyone who cuts logs might be harmed by them. A dull axe means harder work. Being wise will make it easier. What is he saying? If you are cutting a tree and you are using an axe, once it is dull, it means you need a lot of strength to do it, right? But a wise person knows that they need to go and sharpen the axe. And once you do that, it makes the cutting what? Very easy. If a snake bites the tamer before it is tamed, what good is the tamer? So he's saying that when you look at life, you can see foolishness where? You can see foolishness where? Everywhere. Do you see foolishness in your home sometimes? Do you see foolishness in church? Do you see foolishness in the political arena? Do you see foolishness at your workplace? Foolishness is all around us. Everywhere. Everywhere there is a level of foolishness. Can I come to your house? Is it okay if I come to your house? Because I want to work on this a little bit. Can I come to your home? Why are you fasting and praying about a problem between your wife and you when you know all it takes is to apologize? That's foolishness. Why do you have to start prayer and fasting? Why do you have to start prayer and fasting for something all it takes is to apologize? Why? You look at the dude at your workplace and you think you are better off. Life is in seasons. In this season, they are the supervisor. I bet you in the next season, they will not be. So remain calm. Be patient. Let us walk in wisdom. Tell the person sitting next to you, you got to learn to walk in wisdom. No matter the foolishness you see, walk in wisdom. From verses 12 to 15, he tells us the importance of wisdom in our words. Then from 16 to 20, he tells us the importance of wisdom in government. Let's start from verse 12. Because now he tells us, you need to be careful with the things you are saying. The words of the wise bring them praise. That word praise means it brings them favor. But the words of a fool will destroy them. A fool begins by saying foolish things and ends by saying crazy and wicked things. Can you identify with that? You see, some people are quiet because they think I'm saying they are fools. No. Actually, I haven't said anything. I'm reading the Bible. A fool talks too much. No one knows the future, and no one can tell what will happen after death. Work worse fools out. They don't even know how to get home. Now, he goes on to say that anybody who speaks wisely, their words will bring them favor. So be careful that in your choice of words, you use wisdom. How many of you are using wisdom in your words? If you speak in anger, you are not using wisdom. Because I've never seen anybody who is angry who uses wisdom. You always have to be patient in order to use the right words. Amen? Amen. Remember, the definition of wisdom is that you are making decisions that is based on God's word. Perspective. God knows the big picture, so he knows how things interrelate. When you are choosing words to speak, you must choose them as the Holy Spirit enables you. It is so crucial. That's how wisdom works. Sometimes there are people using discretion, but it's at the wrong time. You must do the right thing out there. Do the right thing. Are there? Stop having a prayer meeting. Simply go and apologize. Don't worry about the boss who is troubling you. Pray for them. Use words of wisdom. When you come to church, do the same. Respect people. Amen. Amen. There is a common enemy. What is his name? He's called the devil, Satan, not the person sitting next to you. Now, Solomon says wisdom is not only important in the words we use, but it's also important in government. Look at verse 16. He says, how terrible it is for a country whose king is a child and whose leaders eat all morning. Do I need to read it again? How terrible it is for a country whose king is a child. In other words, the king is old, but he functions like a kid. And then all the leaders just wake up in the morning and they eat. After they are done eating, what do? They sleep. Verse 17, how lucky a country is whose king comes from a good family. So he's making a comparison here. So he talks about life, he talks about your work, and now he's talking about the country and how it is governed. How lucky a country is whose king comes from a good family, whose leaders eat only at mealtime and for strength and not to get drunk. If someone is lazy, the roof will begin to fall. If he doesn't fix it, the house will leak. A party makes you feel good. Wine makes you feel happy. Money buys anything. He's saying that the fool thinks this way. Don't make fun of the king and don't make fun of rich people, even in your bedroom, because a little bed might carry your words over and they will hear you. In other words, stop talking about your bosses, because some other gossiper at your place of work will go tell them what you said. I'll put it in modern language for you. Is that okay? You don't like them and you are that bold, go say it to their face. But wisdom teaches you to keep your mouth shut. I'll go back to it again. Nathan has every right to stand in front of David and say, "Thou seest the Lord, you have sinned." But he did not forget that is the king. So he chose his words what? Wisely. He's saying that if the king is wrong, tell the king, but use wisdom. Are you with me? Are we doing that through this political process? Is that what we're doing? Or we are just spewing our hatred everywhere? Let me summarize something for you. Solomon says that foolishness destroys three things. Write it down. It destroys societies. Foolishness destroys good work environment. And foolishness destroys wise government. Foolishness will destroy a society. Today, there are many choices our society makes that is not based on God's perspective and is destroying the society. I don't need to name the decisions, but I'm sure you know by now, right? There are many decisions that have been made that is not based on God's perspective. People, it will destroy the work environment. I believe in equality, but I do not believe in equality outside of God. Can I teach you something really quick? If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 11, we see three types of unity. Hear me, nations of the world. We see a unity of God without man, a unity of men without God. But then God says, I want a unity of mankind with me in it. The people at the Tower of Babel, what did they say? Go to, let us make brick so we can make a name for our, that's the unity of men without God. Then when God saw it, he says, let us also go down. That's the unity of God without men. But what thrives is the unity of men with God. Today, our society makes a decision that reminds us that everybody is equal. It's true. But we are equal because we were made in the image of God. When you sidestep that, you need to stop talking about the rest. Foolishness destroys. On the other hand, wisdom saves societies. It does the opposite of all the others. Wisdom saves, or it encourages or facilitates good work environment. When I was looking for a job at my last place of work, in a secular work, I went to the interview and I made a case for myself. Was it wise? Not as wise. If you let somebody know that you are easily dispensable, they will get rid of you. I told them how the company cannot do without me. And I made my case. And when I was done, I said, the cherry on top is that I'm a pastor. So I bring spiritual power to this place. So this vice president says, you got the job. And I said, okay, before we go forward, bow your head, let me pray for you. And I prayed. I did not even remember the things I said in my prayer. When I was done, she was in tears. And you know what she said? How did you know that I've been divorced from my husband for this number of years? I said, I did not know. I am not talking about knowledge and steroids. I'm talking about wisdom, because it's God giving you the perspective. Wisdom saves. Foolishness destroys. The foolishness in our day is destroying this nation. It is destroying communities. It is destroying politicians. It is destroying many things. We must make decisions that are based on God's word. Do you realize churches are gradually following in the name of Tole? Complete it for me. I believe in the issue of tolerance, that you must be tolerant of everyone. But they must constantly hear in their ears that something is wrong. That is also tolerance. Did you copy what I just said? Sometimes we assume that if my child is doing the wrong thing, the fact that I don't tell them means I love them. Is that true? Is that wisdom? So when the world teaches us that, you must understand that's foolishness. Suppose you are in a car and it's a dual carriageway. You just went over a bridge and realized that the other side of the road, the bridge is broken down, and a bunch of young people are in a car. They are having fun. What would you do? What would you do when you see them? You will stop them. Why? Because there's danger ahead. And many of us see all kinds of danger ahead of this generation. And we close our eyes to it because somebody will label you as evil. The scripture says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in our days. Do you know how it was in the days of Noah? It was Noah who was telling people there's rain coming, and they've never seen rain for many years. So what did you think they'll be doing to Noah? They'll be laughing at him. So when you preach the gospel today and people laugh at you, you must understand it's simply just the last days. It's nothing new. Can you imagine that people were looking at Noah and they say, oh, this old man, he's crazy. He's building a boat in a desert. Let's all be honest. Come on. It looks like the wires are off. Noah is talking to God. No, we don't think so. The dude is just crazy because he's building a boat, a huge boat. That marine vessel was huge. In fact, if you read the scriptures, pay attention to the dimensions, it was bigger than the Titanic. Then on top of it, it has a design flaw. It has only one door. If you are an engineer, you understand there has to be egress. There's got to be a door. There's got to be a door. There's got to be a door. He's got one door. Why? Because he's building a symbol of salvation. And there is only one way to it. Not many. One. Those who could not see it only saw Noah as a man. So in our day, you will be teaching truth and people will be laughing at you. Don't be worried, because wisdom in its essence would see what is taking place. As it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot, LGBT began back in Noah's day. You remember those angels who went to Lot, and the people of Sodom just came over and said, hey, Lord, yesterday me and my kids were having devotion, and when we got to that place, I think it was my oldest boy, I said, Dad, what? Men want some of men? That's perverted. I said, son, that's what we are seeing. As it was back then, so it is now. This ain't new. And if God judged it back then, what makes you think he will not judge it now?
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.